Okay, everybody, welcome back once again to Tech Gumbo. I'm Haggai Davis II, along with Haggai Davis III, and we'd like to welcome you into our show where we talk about all things past, present, and future when it comes to technology, and we want to do so in a topical and interesting way that is digestible to you, and hopefully important as well.
Speaking of important, we want to thank Cardinal Capital. They connect businesses to capital. Doesn't matter what business you are in, Cardinal Capital has the resources all across the U.S. that are willing to help fund organizations of all sizes, life cycles, categories, and locations. Cardinal Capital works with you to craft the best commercial finance package you need to achieve your business goals. Whether you're looking to refinance current debt to take advantage of the new government programs and favorable interest rates, or you want to finance new equipment, maybe you're trying to expand your existing business or acquire another one, Cardinal Capital has the resources to make it happen. Banks seek out Cardinal Capital to help them with loans they cannot do. The Cardinal Capital guys are easy to work with and fun to be around. Contact them today at 225-308-3700 or send them an email at info@cardinalcap.net, where they will be happy to help you with your commercial finance needs. So, we are very excited this week. We are giving away our first Tech Gumbo mug to a listener. We announced last week we have Tech Gumbo mugs that we are giving out to anyone whose question we use is the question of the week. And this week we got a question texted to us at 225-255-0431. And that question was, for my personal computer at home, what is the best way to back up my data?
What a great question, because, you know, we've talked for years and years and years about backing up your data at the office. Have your business, you know, three copies of your data on at least two formats and at least one copy offsite somewhere. Well, you know what? It turns out it's not a bad idea for the house either. As a matter of fact, you should be doing it at home too.
Right. And so there's a lot of different, you know, formats, a lot of different styles, a lot of different devices you can use. We thought it'd be useful to go through them, talk about them, and start to say, you know, okay, what are the, maybe how did it happen 20 years ago? How does it happen today?
So the first thing that you want to do, if you're going to back up your personal data at home, go get a hard drive. You can go to one of the big box stores, buy it from Amazon, you know, get a couple of gig, you know, 100 gig hard drive or whatever, 200 gig hard drive to make copies of your data to keep it locally. The important thing, if you're going to have an attached hard drive to back your data up locally, do not leave it connected to your computer. You plug it in, you back up your data, and then you unplug that drive. Because if your computer gets infected with malware or ransomware, it's also going to screw up your backup files. So leave it unattached.
Right. Only plug it in whenever you are using it to back up. Otherwise, keep them air-gapped.
And set a reminder for yourself once a week, once every other week, however often, you know, may not need to back up your personal data daily kind of thing. But, you know, if once a week you're making enough changes, if it's only once a month, that's fine too. But by all means, and because when we talk about personal data, I guess we need to let everybody know all of the pictures that you have on your computer, all of the music, if you still have a whole lot of music from your iTunes days, or if you had a bunch of albums and cassettes and CDs that you converted into MP3 so you could listen to on your electronic devices, if your tax returns are electric, all of that kind of stuff is really critical. That's what we're talking about backing up here.
Right, yeah. Those are the things that you're going to have on your home computer, and if one of those goes down, you're going to want to have it again in the future. Also, emails. Sometimes your emails, you want to keep those around as well.
And so anything that's important like that, back it up and be safe. The next thing we want to talk about is, you know, using the cloud. That's obviously the easiest thing to do. And we're going to go through a whole lot of different cloud versions, but keeping your data away from the house, because if you're attached, if your hard drive sitting next to your computer, if your house burns or floods or gets stolen, it's still gone. Whereas if it's in the cloud, at least you know you can go find it.
Right. So the advantage of the cloud is that, you know, it's, you're not worried about something physically happening to it. But the advantage of that local hard drive is that it's much faster. That, you know, whenever you're pushing up 10 gigs or 50 gigs to the cloud, that can take you a while. But if you're just sitting there moving it back and forth across the USB, you're going to be 10 times faster, 50 times faster moving that data around locally. And so that's that trade-off between the two.
There is online backup services. If you've been around, you remember, you know, things like Carbonite and those kinds of things. And we'll get into that a little bit more. But that's the type of backup service which it's making, you know, actual copies of everything that's on your computer. And that's a good thing.
Right. So there's also some things that we don't recommend. We don't recommend using CDs anymore. The, you know, one CD holds 700 megs and the DVDs hold 4 gigs. That's going to take you a whole lot of CDs to sit there and back everything up on. And most computers today don't have CD or DVD readers. I can't tell you the last time I pulled a physical disc out and put it in somewhere else.
No, at the office, we actually have a CD, external CD drive that you can plug in via USB if you have to use a CD, but that's about it. And those things break and they scratch. They're very, very unreliable sources. Definitely don't want to do that.
Same thing with a flash drive. You know, flash drives were really important 10 years ago, 15 years ago. But the problem with that specific type of hardware is once you go above a certain size, it starts to become unreliable. You start to get errors. The data doesn't save well. It doesn't move well. And so if you have a 2 gig or 4 gig flash drive, at internet speeds, just put it in a OneDrive, put it in a Google Drive. Just use smaller things. You can send smaller things through an email.
And USB drives are very easy to lose. And when you lose it, somebody else finds it. Now they have your data.
Yes. And so that's CDs and DVDs and USBs. That's how things were done in the past. But we really don't recommend those methods anymore.
Now, there is also something called a NAS or a network attached storage. And this is kind of like an external drive, but this has a specific purpose so that it is constantly grabbing data from your hard drive. It's kind of an external drive. It's an external storage system. And that's a good thing to back up onto it. But again, if you get infected, if you get, you know, ransomware on your computer and your computer is attached to that network attached storage, now your NAS is compromised as well.
Right. And so that's when you're getting into the strength of that external drive is that, you know, you plug it in once, you know, you run your 30-minute update or whatever to make sure that you get the copy over, and you unplug it so that you're not sitting there sharing back and forth this compromised files.
And then there's, you know, some other things. Some people will actually email themselves things to keep copies of stuff in their inbox, and or they'll post things up on social media networks. These are just not good ideas, because the ability for them to go away quickly is it just makes it not a good plan.
Right. You know, for a long time, I had a lot of pictures just that were on Facebook. That was where a lot of pictures just got posted for, you know, most of my, you know, 15 to 20 year old life. And if you want those pictures, go get them. There's our settings inside of Facebook, inside of Instagram, inside of Twitter, where you can download all those things locally for yourself. Because if they're, you know, just on the web and Facebook owns them and you access them through Facebook, one day Facebook just decides to change things, you're toast.
So, you know, when we talked a little bit about, you know, Carbonite being one of the backup softwares, I have used Carbonite several times. We use Carbonite to back up my mom's computer. And because she loves to click on things, there have been, over the past decade, three different times when I've had to rebuild her computer for her. And thankfully, Carbonite has been there for her.
What specific things about Carbonite made it useful?
Well, number one, it backs up real time everything that she does, so that it's always keeping up new copies of her data. When she does click on something, if she were to get malware or to get ransomware, you can go back to Carbonite and say, okay, I want to get copies from, I need to rebuild a copy from a week ago of all the data. And so you miss out on a week, but that's okay, because it makes these what's called a flat image, where it just keeps a copy of all of the data from that particular day that's on that computer. So it's a good way to go back and restore if your computer becomes compromised or ransomware or whatever. Using something like that, Backblaze is another really good software to use, and you know, there's several other versions.
So if you didn't need something as involved, if you trusted yourself a little bit more, what are some of the simpler backup options that you can use?
Well, the two easiest are using OneDrive or Google Drives. If you're using Microsoft OneDrive, if you have an Office 365 account, you should be syncing your My Documents to your OneDrive right now. I have been using my OneDrive probably at least 6 years. I've not stored anything on a local computer in at least 6 years now, because everything I do, I work from OneDrive. So my computer could melt down right here in front of us, and I don't lose a single bit of data. I don't lose anything because it's all backed up. Everything I do is on OneDrive. I would have to reinstall some programs. Yeah, sure, but I can pull all of that down off the web and be fine. Same thing with Google Backup, the Google Drive accounts. If you use the Google system instead of Microsoft system, or if you use the iCloud, any of those types of things, highly recommend. You know, if you're a Mac person, you like your iCloud, please back up all your data there. If you're a Google person, you use the Google Suite, please back up everything into Google. Just because I'm a Microsoft person and I like OneDrive doesn't mean it's the best. It's just what I like the most.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great point. That it's, you know, we'll talk about Microsoft on here in general, just because we are Microsoft users. But, you know, if you're a Mac person, the iCloud is every bit as good as OneDrive is. The one thing about Google is that you're paying with Google with your data. They're going to sit there and read through all your things and sell you nice ads with it, or sell nice ads to other people about you. If you're okay with that and that's a trade that you are fine taking, then, you know, the Google system is also pretty good.
You have your trade-offs. If you're okay giving up some money to not have Google read everything, so be it. But that's a great question. Thank you so much to a listener who gave us that question. Your mug is on the way. Thank you very much. And real excited. I can't wait when you get that. And I'm going to make sure he posts a picture of himself with his mug. That'll be cool to see.
Absolutely. So to all you listeners out there who have a question, you want someone to do a deep dive for you, let us know and we will get you a Tech Gumbo mug if we use your question.
That's right. Just send us a text to 225-255-0431 with your question, and we will mail you a mug.
All right. So moving into the back half of this segment, we wanted to talk about electrification of cars, as well as some of the future of truck driving in this industry.
A recent study by Ernst & Young, the big accounting firm, found that 41% of the people who are looking at buying a car are considering an electric car, which is a major increase.
And this is not just in the U.S. This is Australia, Canada, China, Sweden, Japan, U.K., and U.S. So this is all across the world that people are really starting to consider electric vehicles. And so, you know, you're going to start to see more car manufacturers have electric vehicles become more serious versions. It's not just going to be that one little Prius that's hanging off the side somewhere. You're going to start to see a lot more pickup trucks, a lot more of your regular cars, your sedans, your SUVs. You know, expect to see an electric option coming out.
And if it's, even if it's not a fully electric vehicle, at least, you know, hybrid is part of the, either electric, fully electric or hybrid, so that, you know, you're not running entirely on gasoline kind of thing. That's a real fascinating seismic shift for the automakers.
Oh, right. Because it's also relatively fast that, you know, I would imagine that the number of electric vehicles that were sold is still in the single digit percents, maybe less than 5%. And so whenever you start to think about over the next 10 years, you could have them jump up into the 30 and 40%. That has huge implications for the oil and gas and petrochemical industry, for gas stations as an infrastructure, and just, you know, electric vehicle charging stations, all these sorts of things. You're going to see some really interesting ripples across how we move.
And which leads into the story about Tesla. They're going to start opening charging networks across the world. That they want 25,000 superchargers available globally, so that you can, you know, riding across town, across country, whatever, pull in somewhere, get a cup of coffee, and have your car charging while you take a break.
And they also wanted to not just be to for Tesla vehicles. They're thinking about opening it up to any electric vehicle. And that's, you know, they're going to start to pull in some of this infrastructure money, this huge infrastructure bill going through that has electric vehicle money in it. Tesla's saying, okay, you know, right now we're only Tesla, but if we're going to start taking government grant money, oh yeah, we'll open it up. You want to come charge your Ford here, come charge your Chevy here, we'll charge you for it, but yeah, let's go.
So that means everybody's going to have, is there a standardized electric charging port?
I actually don't know enough about that.
I don't either. That's a great question. We'll have to look into that. But so if Ford has their version of the electric charging port and Volkswagen has their own port and Tesla has a different port, then that doesn't work. But if everybody's got the equivalent of a USB port, okay, now it works.
That's a huge incentive for standardization for the industry, because otherwise you're going to have to go to the Ford charging station. You're going to have to go to the GM charging station. So that'll be super interesting to look into and see how it evolves.
Yeah, we'll do a little digging on that one. That just occurred to me while we were talking about it.
The other really interesting development here is that you're seeing a lot of autonomous companies, you know, start to shift a little bit away from the private vehicles into the trucking industry.
But to the tune of it being almost 5-1. The amount of money being put into the trucking industry versus putting into the personal car industry, because it's an easier path to get trucks autonomous than personal vehicles.
Oh, yeah. Trucks spend an overwhelming portion of their time on the interstate, which is so much easier than driving around a neighborhood or driving around a downtown district. Plus, your value proposition is also way more direct, that if you can ship more goods, you make more money. Whereas if I'm just a person with a private car, yeah, sure, it's nice to drive less, but there's not that same like financial incentive that is as directly tied.
And the military has proven with the drones flying overseas that they can be sitting in the middle of Kansas with, you know, several screens wrapped around them and see everything they need to do real time, so that truck needs to get in and out in around town, that person sitting back in at corporate headquarters can remote into that truck, drive through town to get where it needs to go, or help it park or whatever. Okay, fine. Then I'm done. I can remote out. I didn't have to spend 26 hours long haul driving in that vehicle. That's a big game changer.
Oh, absolutely. And maybe even you do need a physical person there in case something goes wrong, but they could be sleeping or they could be sitting there reading the paper or whatever. They're just a babysitter at that point in time. It's, you know, they're not the actual truck driver. And so the hours they could work, maybe they get longer, you know, because you don't have that same strain because you're not in control. You're just there in case something goes wrong.
And we will keep an eye on it, keep looking at what's happening with that, because that's what we do here on Tech Gumbo. And we do want to thank General Informatics. General Informatics is an information technology firm with a mission to make our clients even more successful through the best use of technology. From the beginning, we have maintained our commitment to meeting the growing needs of our clients through continuous innovation. With over 20 years of experience and a team of 70-plus engineers, programmers, and designers, GI has evolved to become the leading IT partner of businesses, schools, and government agencies. Our managed services teams can run your digital infrastructure or support your team on an on-demand basis, letting you focus on your business strengths. This has become a proven formula, so proven that 98% of our clients continue to do business with us year after year. The true testament to GI's success, however, has been the strategic support of our clients' growth. Today, GI has a record number of clients as the fastest growing companies in the Inc. 500 5000 list. Whether you need IT services, new technology, or have a question, visit us on the web at geninf.com.
If you enjoyed our show today, we are here on Talk 107.3 FM every Saturday at 4 p.m., and the show reruns Sundays also at 4 p.m. If you missed any part of our show or you want to go back and hear previous episodes, you can check us out as a podcast available on almost every podcast platform, including TuneIn, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, Deezer, Player FM, and more. When you're there, be sure to subscribe so you get notified every time we post a new episode.
And if you like our show, if you have any suggestions, let us know. We're on Twitter and on Facebook. We're at Tech Gumbo Show. Or text us at 225-255-0431, and we'll send you a mug if we use your question for the question of the week. So follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and thank you for listening to Tech Gumbo.